welcome to our second class of the week. So as you guys already know, our second class is about native talks, okay? So our first sentence is already there. Let's see. Ask yourself what your presentation is all about, its title and its goals. Think about who your audience is. Figure out what your main message is. Okay, so first thing that we have here is a reflexive pronoun. That's what we call this. So reflexive pronouns, the name already expresses what it does. So we use reflexive pronouns when the subject of the verb is the same as the object, all right? In this case, we are making an imperative sentence, and usually when we make imperative sentences, we already have the you expressed in the sentence without having to indicate it, right? So if I say ask yourself, you already know that I'm talking about you, okay? That's why we don't have a subject in imperative sentences. But usually sentences have a subject, right? We have this exception, which is the imperative sentence, but usually we have a subject. So for example, if I say I ask myself that question every day. So there's something that you're not sure about and you're always questioning that, and you ask yourself, maybe probably in your mind, you would say I ask myself. Myself is a reflexive pronoun, so I'm using me as a subject and as an object, okay? I ask myself. I'm the object of the ask, of the verb ask, but I'm also doing the action, okay? That's what reflexive pronouns do. So if it were you should ask yourself, for example, if you want to put a doubt in a person's mind, you can say you should ask yourself. You should ask yourself that. So maybe you're talking about something and you want the person to think about it. You should ask yourself that. But of course, when we're talking about other people, he should ask himself. But of course, we can use other verbs. For example, he looked at himself in the mirror. So he did the looking, he looked, and he was the object of the verb look, okay? He looked at himself in the mirror. So he did the action and he received the action, all right? So we have herself when we're talking about she, right? She or her. We have itself when we're talking about it. We have themselves. See here, this is an important detail. When it's plural, we turn the F into a V and we add ES, okay? So themselves, when I'm talking about they, right? Them. Ourselves, when I'm talking about we. And yourselves, when we're talking about you in plural, okay? So more than one person, you guys, for example, okay? Yourselves. I can say they never correct themselves. Okay, so it's very common to see these reflexive pronouns in the middle of sentences, all right? So then we have the rest of the sentence, right? So ask yourself what your presentation is all about. Ask yourself. Its title and its goals. So here we have the possessive its, okay? So this is a possessive that is in the same group as her, his, and so on, right? But we have to be careful because this is another mistake that sometimes natives can make, and it's very common, is they confuse its with the possessive its, okay? So we use this its when we are saying things like it's okay or it's raining, it is, right? It is the abbreviation of it is. So this is one thing, and the possessive is another totally different thing, and the possessive doesn't have an apostrophe, okay? So we have to be careful. Sometimes we think that it needs to have an apostrophe. Maybe you're writing in a hurry or something. It's common for this to happen, but it's something that we need to be aware of so that we don't make this mistake, okay? So it's with the apostrophe is the abbreviation of it is or it has when we're talking in the present perfect. And it's the possessive doesn't have an apostrophe, all right? So I can say the dog eats its food in the morning. So I'm saying that the food belongs to the dog. I'm using a possessive, so it doesn't have an apostrophe, all right? And the last thing that we're going to see in this sentence is figure out. You guys already know this, I'm sure, this expression. But figure out means to discover and solve a certain thing. But in this case, she's talking about preparing a presentation. So it can mean to go after this information. So if you're going to make a presentation and you don't know who your audience is going to be, you should research and figure it out. You should ask someone or, you know, find a way to discover who your audience is. And that's what Jen means in this sentence, in this native talk, okay? So in this case, she could say, figure out who your audience is if she wanted to express that you need to look it up or go after this information. And figure out what your main message is. Think about what you want to express in your presentation, okay? Figure out what your main message is. Discover maybe just with yourself, studying what you are going to present. Figure out what your main message is. What is your focus, okay? So let's go to the second sentence from this same class. Make a clear transition in between the parts of the presentation. Using transition words and phrases makes your presentation look smooth and easy to follow. So we've talked about transition words in our classes before. So basically, it's, for example, firstly or first off when you are starting, right? So ways to begin. And then when you move on to the next topic, secondly, or you can just say moving on. These kinds of words will help your audience know what is happening in your presentation and follow in your rhythm, in your way, what you are explaining, okay? So secondly, moving on, you can say, and now I'm going to address. So remember that address as a verb means talk about something, okay? So, and now I'm going to address. This is a way to transition and not let your audience feel lost, okay? It's very important to have these words at the tip of your tongue so that your audience feels comfortable while they're watching your presentation and they follow all your ideas, all right? And then in the same sentence, we have the word between. Now, we have two words that have the same translation, but they are different, okay? So between and among. So just to remind you guys, between refers to something that is between two items, okay? So for example, I could say, I am between two remote controls. So between refers to two objects, all right? And among doesn't have that detail, okay? Among is between an indefinite number. So things that are in a large amount, we would use among. So for example, here in my scenery, I am among books. I don't know if you guys can see, but behind me there are a lot of books. Since it's more than two, I would use the word among. Even though the translation is the same, they express different things, okay? So between is in the middle of two objects, and among is an unlimited or maybe not defined, maybe you don't really know how much there is, but it is in the middle of those things. So indefinite amount, okay? That's the difference between them, even though their translation is the same. Following that part, we have that look smooth. So remember that in our last review, we talked about look, right? So look refers to appearance. So if you need to make your presentation look smooth, it means that it has to be visually smooth or visually maybe clear for people to understand, and visually planned, well planned, okay? So looking smooth means looking organized, looking well planned, and making sense, okay? But it refers to appearance, right? If you have to make presentations at work, make sure to leave a comment here in this class or in the Native Talk class talking about how you feel when you're preparing a presentation and if you'd like some extra tips, okay? But I'm sure that watching Jen's class will help you prepare presentations in the future and will give you a good idea of the most important tips, okay? So let's move on to our next sentence. This next sentence is from our next Native Talk class, which is sharing your achievements, okay? This is a very important class. Let's take a look at this sentence. Maybe you just got a promotion and you don't tell your friends the good news because you're afraid they'll think you're bragging. This class is about sharing your achievements, right? So a word that Jen uses a lot in this class is brag, right? She uses mostly the verb brag. Brag means to talk about yourself in a kind of egotistical way, all right? So bragging. It's not a good thing, okay? It's a very negative thing to brag, to talk about yourself in a way that's not so well perceived because of how you talk. But it's interesting to note that brag is a verb and a noun. So the verb is talking about yourself in a kind of egotistical way. And the noun is what we call a person that does that, okay? So you can say, my manager is a brag. Means he is the kind of person that talks about himself in a way that is not very cool because it's not well perceived, because maybe he puts himself in a position of superiority or things like that, okay? So that's the sense of the word brag. So as the verb, it is to talk about yourself in that way, and the noun is a person who does that, okay? And the next thing in this sentence is to be afraid. So we talked about this when we mentioned giving good news, but it's also used to say that someone has a fear of something. And it's very different from Portuguese, okay? So in Portuguese, we use the verb have. In Portuguese, we say, I have a fear of spider, or I have afraid, things like that. But in English, we don't use it like that. We say, I am, okay? It's an adjective. So we use it after I am, she is afraid of spiders, and not she has, okay? She is afraid of spiders. Okay, never she has. It's kind of like the age thing that sometimes it's confusing for Portuguese-speaking people when they start to learn English. We use verb to be because it's an adjective and not the verb have as we do in Portuguese, okay? And the next sentence from the same Native Talk class is, people are receptive to hearing success stories when credit is given where it's due. People are receptive to hearing success stories when credit is given where it's due. So we have two most interesting things in this sentence, which is given. Given is the third form of the verb give, right? But it is also a noun. How? So it's the third form of the verb give, and it's a noun that means something that is very obvious, okay? So maybe you have a question in your test and the answer is very obvious. You can say, this question is a given. It means there's no chance you'll get it wrong because it's obvious and it's very clear what the answer is, okay? You know, when you get a test and there's a really easy question and you think that the teacher just put it there to make sure nobody got a zero, you know, that's the kind of sense of given. Something very obvious, something very easy, okay? You can say, that game was a given. There was no way that we could lose that game. So we use given as a noun in this case, okay? And the next thing in this sentence is where it's due. Now, this is very common when we're talking about where something belongs, where something should be. And in this case, Jen is talking about credit, okay? So if you have an achievement and you have to recognize people who helped you, we say give credit where it's due. Give credit where it belongs, which means give credit to the people that helped and to the people that participated in that project. So maybe you know that a person's going to make a presentation talking about a success that they had in the project. You can say, don't forget to give credit where it's due, okay? So it's a nice expression. And I'm going to leave in the PDF all the tips that Jen gives here. And just to finish talking about this class, so presenting your achievements is actually something that is very important to master, because you need to do that not only when you are thinking of getting into a company, maybe in your job interview, or maybe you are making a presentation and you want to introduce yourself. Those two situations do require speaking about your achievements. But in general, you know, if you participate in group activities and sometimes you have to introduce yourself and talk about your experiences, those are all opportunities for you to talk about your achievements, okay? But make sure you follow all these tips that Jen gives so you talk about your achievements and are perceived in a good way. Okay, so follow the tips, but make sure you practice and you know how to talk about your achievements, not only in your current work maybe, but your achievements in life, you know, what you did in university or things like that. All right, your achievements in general. It's very important to know how to talk about them. Okay, so that's it for this native talk. Let's move on to our next one. Let's read together. Know your boss's personality and try to understand what might appear to be threatening, especially if your organization doesn't have a clear emphasis on career paths. So as always, we have a sentence in imperative form. It's starting with the verb in base form, okay? So because Jen is giving tips, it is very common for her to use imperative sentences. Here we have an interesting thing, which is the apostrophe. You guys already know that we use apostrophes to talk about something that belongs to someone. But there's just a small detail that I wanted to remind you guys, that when your object, when your noun is in plural form and the S is there to make it plural, we don't put apostrophe and another S, okay? So for example, kids is a noun in plural form. The S is there to make my noun plural. So all I do to make it into an expression of ownership is add the apostrophe at the end, okay? So I can say, the kids' toys are in the car, okay? So if the S is there to make the noun plural, I just add the apostrophe at the end and not another S, all right? And that's already indicating possession, okay? Be careful with that little detail. So the next thing in this sentence is the sentence, try to understand what might appear to be threatening. Why do we have be here in base form? It's because of the model might, okay? So when we have a model and we have the verb to be after it, we just use it in base form. So might be, that's it. But here we're talking about appearances and we are using appear to, okay? Appear to is all part of the same structure. So we just add appear to between the model and be, okay? But in general, when we have the verb to be after a model, we just use it in base form. So would be, should be, so she should. When you're giving your opinion, it's very common to use should, or in advice, she should be in charge of the project. Okay, so if I have verb to be after a model, it's in base form. It's very simple. Just she should be in charge of the project. All right, so let's move on to the next sentence from the same class. Let's read together. Be careful if this is the case, because some leaders will enthusiastically encourage such frankness, but others may find it threatening. Okay, let's read again. Be careful if this is the case, because some leaders will enthusiastically encourage such frankness, but others may find it threatening. Again, we have a sentence in imperative form. Okay, be careful, that's imperative. Be careful if this is the case, because some leaders will enthusiastically encourage such frankness. So such has a sense of to that extent. Okay, so if I say we never buy such expensive things. So I'm talking about the extensiveness of expensive, okay? We never buy such expensive things. I'm talking about the limit of how expensive something is, okay? So we never buy such expensive things. We don't buy things that are that expensive. So such has a sense of to that extent, to the extent that we are talking about in the conversation, okay? So here, such frankness, kind of like that extent of honesty, okay? That's too honest, maybe. So such frankness. And we have this interesting little suffix, ness. So ness is very simple. It just turns an adjective, in this case, frank. Frank has a sense of very honest. So, you know, people that don't hide how they feel or don't hide their opinions, even if it might be a little controversial, that's what we call frank. That person is frank. It's an adjective, right? And to make it into a noun, I just add the ness, okay? So you can say that kind of frankness is too much, for example. If you think that a person is being too honest, you can say that kind of frankness. I made frank the adjective into a noun. That kind of frankness is too much. It's too intense, okay? That kind of frankness is too much. Or, for example, the adjective soft. You can use this for objects, right? So, or fur, for example. If I want to make it into an object, a noun, it's softness. For example, this cream will increase the softness of your skin. Okay, so softness has become a noun and is not an adjective, okay? Just because I added -ness at the end, okay? Very good. So the next part of the sentence is, but others may find it threatening. But others may find it threatening. Here we have find. And you guys know that find means when you lost your keys, for example, and you find them, when you reach something that you didn't know where it was and you find it. But it is also used when you want to say what you felt about something, okay? So for in the sentence, others may find it threatening. Others may feel that it is threatening, okay? So for example, I find this product amazing. So you are giving your opinion. It's more related to feeling than the verb think, okay? Even though they are very similar, find is more related to how you feel when you see something or when you use something, anything like that, okay? So I find this product amazing. My company finds this kind of attitude threatening, like Jen is talking about here, okay? So find is like think, but it's more related to how you feel, your perception, your very personal perception of something, okay? That's the main difference. And this class, Jen talks about mentorship programs, right? So that means when you have someone in your company that is your mentor, a person that teaches you, gives you tips, shows you how to do things, and they have programs for this, okay? So I think in Brazil it's not so common, but if you ever work in a foreign company, it's good to know that these things exist because it can help you grow inside a company and it will make it easier for you to locate yourself in a company, okay? And some companies even have mentorship programs with people that aren't in your sector or people that work in a very different part of the company, but it has this goal of helping you develop yourself and develop yourself maybe within what the company is expecting, okay? So it's good to know that these things exist. So let me just write it here, mentorship, okay? So when you have someone that helps you and helps develop your abilities and your work in the company, okay? That's what Jen talks about so much in this native talk. So that was our last native talk. These last units, we only had 3 native talks, so this class was really quick. And remember that if you have any questions, you can leave them in the comments. And our next review class will be our last one, okay? So I hope you guys got everything, and I'll see you next time. Bye.